Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Bad defense, bad coaching, bad plan. Football.
You know, but hopefully not bad football tomorrow around 3:30. Nebraska, Oregon set to go. Welcome in to Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are on the road. It is Friday, and we invite you out to Applebee's North 27th here in Lincoln. If you are outside of Lincoln and coming in for football, for volleyball, for a weekend of shopping, whatever, the Applebee's location at North 27th will be happy to take care of you. And happy hour is going on. That makes me happy. It'll make you hungry. Let me tell you what's going on with Applebee's and happy hour till 6. We are here on the road with Hail Varsity till 6. And I tell you what, happy hour continues after 9 tonight. So if you're getting back from that high school football game, Applebee's the location for you. All apps, half price. That is incredible. What are the apps I'm talking about? Well, let your mouth water here. The classic combo, the double crunch bone-in wings, boneless wings, salsa verde, beef nachos. I love these. I think I've eaten all of them at one sitting in an Applebee's before. The brew pub pretzels, steak quesadilla, the chicken wonton tacos are a Schmidt household favorite, spinach and artichoke dip. We are at Applebee's, North 27th. We invite you out here on the road with Hail Varsity Radio. It is Oregon. It is Nebraska. We are loaded up today. The Pride of Fairbury and NBC Sports, Bill Dolman, coming up in about 20 minutes. We'll get his take on Nebraska and Oregon. That is good. Some NFL to cover. Bill Belichick, you heard as we opened things up. He's not a happy guy. Bad, bad, bad is what he was saying about what his team did and how they performed. More so credit to the Chiefs. We'll spend time on Kansas City. And in hour two, Mark Kranak, partner in crime on the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio. Kranak, we're talking danger here. He is in Oregon. He is on his way either from a brewery to another brewery in Portland, or he's already in Eugene. So we'll get caught up with Kranak in the second hour. And he's make-believe. He wears red. Klausberg will join us along with Brandon Vogel for the Friday forecast. Phone numbers to get in, can tap the line. Schillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Twitter, maybe the best way to get a hold of me, at Schmidt underscore radio or at Hail Varsity. Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, is back in our studios. We may or may not bring him some apps for the job well done today here from Applebee's. And so we are excited to be here at Applebee's. Time for you to get here for dinner. It's been a long work week. Yes, I'd say so. Even though you had Monday off, some of you did. Don't cook tonight. Don't make it about, what are we going to throw together for dinner? Maybe you're on the run because you have youth sports. Tell me about it. Or you're just going to the game tonight at Seacrest between Southeast and East. We'll be covering that at 8 o'clock. So Applebee's, where we're at, the North 27th location, just catty corner from the Big Red Storage and across the way from Goodwill. So we want to see you here 4 to 6 and happy hour going till 6. Let's dive into Nebraska and Oregon. And man, I've been wrestling with this game for a lot. You'll get my prediction here in an hour 15. It is a game that is, you'll know tomorrow morning officially what is the story with the wildfires. But there's so many storylines here for Nebraska, for this football team, for this 2017 season. And also the other side of this coin, too, is when you look at Oregon and what Willie Taggart is all about. Andrew Greif, the Oregonian, I think, put it best. There may be some doubt in Oregon about Willie Taggart. Is he long for this world against other Pac-12 foes? Is he long for this world to make Oregon that it program again? Great hire. Love what he did at South Florida. Love that he's a Harbaugh guy. But can he do it, and can he make you not forget but not want Chip Kelly back? Can Oregon be an 11-2 team every year? Can they be a team that wins 10 games 7 years in a row or more? Well, those are all questions that are answered as the season progresses, but you feel better about that if you're an Oregon fan based on what they do at home to Nebraska. Our dear friend Tim Bob Kitzmiller has made an appearance today here on Hail Varsity Radio. Tim Bob used to play linebacker. He shaves his head. He is not as gruff as he looks, but he may arm wrestle you. We may set up an arm wrestling booth here. And so that is what the plan is today. So we're diving into Nebraska and Oregon, and we expect you out here at Applebee's, North 27th location in Lincoln. And if you are so inclined and you're not in Lincoln, you're a part of our network on Hail Varsity, maybe Applebee's is the right choice for you on a Friday night. So get on out there before kickoff or after kickoff. Back to Oregon, Nebraska. Here's what is true about this game tomorrow at 3:30. This one means a little something extra. A little something more than week two, non-conference. It is a chance for Mike Riley to go out how he wants. And I'm not talking about going out in 2017 or going out on the road. I'm talking career. Riley could be here another 5 years, could be in here another 10 years. Who knows? The guy's a young-looking 64. He's just a pleasure to deal with, and he's a smart, smart football guy. All that being said, one of his bugaboos, one of his kryptonite pieces has been Oregon football. What's Oregon football done? They've had the funding. They've had Nike. They've had Uncle Phil. They've had a Heisman winner. They have scoured Texas and Louisiana and California and wherever they want to go, they have gone the last 7 years or so with the Bilotti and Chip Kelly combination. And they have built through money, through uniforms, through understanding the teenagers in the world of athletics today and marketing. They have built themselves into something that is important and is relevant, and they're trying to get back there. And there's all that support over there at Nike Town. What do you have for Oregon State? Great baseball program, a pat on the head, thanks for playing. No reward. And then when it wasn't beating Oregon consistently, or they flipped the script on you and they had market share of the entire state, it was miserable. And whether it was a 1-point loss to Mariota his redshirt freshman year, or a 60 spot they hung on you before you left for Lincoln, you remember it. Send this guy out the right way if you're Nebraska. Last time he'll play Oregon, unless it's a bowl game. Last time he gets to head into Autzen. And probably his best chance since his return from the Chargers to win in Autzen. I mean, that place has been, think about like worst case scenarios. It ain't going to happen. It ain't going to go well. As a teenager, you get home late. Mom smells something on you. It ain't going to go well because either she's going to handle it or dad's getting involved, okay? Or you're dropping your girlfriend off, front porch, right? Oh, honey, you smell nice. Light comes on and there's dad, and he has a gun safe, okay? I mean, there are those options. It ain't going to go well. Things weren't going to shake out properly. That's every trip for Oregon State to Oregon. That's how it's been. So what you have right now with this, and you now have year three, you have all Riley guys. You don't have Bo guys playing for Riley in year one. You don't have Bo guys playing for Riley year two. You don't. You have Bo guys still here, but these guys have bought in. Okay, I'm gonna buy all that has been said and spoken about the buy-in and the belief and the culture and the want to win for this guy. I'm gonna purchase that now. So this is his team, his guys. go take care of it. And it's happened before in Nebraska football history. Year one, Bob Devaney, he goes out to Michigan and wins. 1962, good Michigan football team, or a highly ranked Michigan football team at that time. The guys wanted to go get it for the old man. Coach Osborne, that 94 team was the group that came in as redshirt freshmen in 90 when they finished 24th in the country and barely hung on in the top 25, a real crossroads moment in 1990 with Nebraska. They got smoked by Georgia Tech. Those guys came in. They were really good players, too. But they came in, and by 94, by their senior year, the Zadiskas, the Wiegerts, the Styes, you had a group of dudes, Ed Stewart. You had a bunch of guys that wanted to send out Osborne with a championship, be the class that gave it to him. Now, I'm getting dramatic here because this isn't Devaney. This isn't Osborne, but it's a similar type moment in the tenure of a coach. And you have the ability right now to do that with this team. And it is his offense. And it's super familiarity between the head coach at Oregon and the new Nebraska defensive coordinator. So the stars are lining up here. 24 hours from kickoff, that to me is this storyline that I'm anxious to see how it ends. Is it fairy tale or horror story? Because what can't happen 24 hours from now is you cannot get dismantled on national TV again. I don't think they will. I think it could get a little ugly from time to time, but I think Nebraska will put a good game together. Thing that has me on red alert right now is DeMornay Pearson-L. DeMornay Pearson-L stepped out of bounds. Had he not, he has a 71-yard jet sweep touchdown to put the game away, and there's not all this worrisome bet the other way, put the house and mortgage on Oregon mindset around this country and this state if you win by 20 or more, let alone pushing it to a 20-point bulge instead of it being around 14 to 15 points, and then you know what happened the last few seconds. They could have tied it. DeMornay Pearson-L's status. DeMornay Pearson-L is a guy who is electrifying, is one of your most experienced receivers, along with Stanley Morgan. And he's a guy that flipped the script and saved the game for you last year against Oregon. You're down 20-7. He's back from injury. He gets that punt return, and he takes it inside the 20. You score. You rattle off three consecutive touchdowns against Oregon to go ahead into halftime. Nebraska doesn't beat Oregon last year without DeMornay Pearson-L's punt return. And what did that do? It created momentum. It created a boost of confidence. You hear ad nauseum big plays. You hear the talk about, keep these guys from cranking out giant plays, big plays. Keep the points down. How do you get points? You get a big play and a drive, and you'll score points. Great. Well, if you get a big play on the road from a return guy or your wide receiver, that absolutely can neutralize a hostile stadium. And DeMornay Pearson-L will play tomorrow. How effective will he be tomorrow? That is huge. Talk to your friends out in the desert. Why has the point total jumped? Because DeMornay is that important. He's a three-point guy. He is 3 points of possibility with this team when guys are looking at the number, talking about the team. And his ability to make momentum plays in big games is proven, and that's why you love him. You want to see him on the field. How effective can he be? And he needs to go, and he needs to perform well. If he can't or doesn't, what's your alternative? What's your contingency? Well, it's another part of this Riley era that has been hyped up and talked about and you're excited about, and it's recruiting. And it's recruiting young four-stars, and it's recruiting four-star skill athletes. You have a chance for two guys to say, hey, I'm at Nebraska. Welcome me to college football in Spielman and in Lindsay. You have options. Are these guys going to be really good players? You hope so. You think so. But can they be those type of guys that are really good players right here, right now for you, week 2 on the road as a redshirt freshman and as a true freshman? The answer is going to have to be yes if Pearsonell can't go. And the other third part of this year with Red Alert in reference to DeMornay Pearsonell, you're asking young guys to step up. You're missing a proven guy that's won and played well in big games before. The third element, as I mentioned earlier, is the jet sweep. That is a monster component to Nebraska's run game. You're going to win the ball game tomorrow by running the football. And it isn't just going to be Trey and Ziggy and Wilbon slamming behind center. It's going to be the jet sweep to keep him off balance. That has to be not only functional, but incredibly successful tomorrow. You need to stick him. You need to pop some big runs, some big plays with that jet sweep. So time will tell if DeMornay can go, but he has to go tomorrow for Nebraska to have a chance to win this football game. And he has to go and give it what he can. If anything else, to keep 18 guys from covering Stanley Morgan per pass attempt. We are here live at Applebee's, the North 27th location here in Lincoln. Come on out. It's happy hour going on till 6 o'clock. Half price apps. Tremendous beer specials. There's not a bad seat in the house here. There's some goodies the folks at Applebee's are handing out when you get in here. Get set up, get settled in before football tonight, and we'll get you ready for Oregon, Nebraska. It's Hail Varsity Radio as we continue, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back in at Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are live at Applebee's North 27th here in Lincoln. Roadshow for us at Hail Varsity and Nebraska on the road this weekend. We bring in the pride of Fairbury, NBC Sports' Bill Dolman, who got to come back last weekend and check out Memorial Stadium. Billy D, it was awesome to see you, my friend. How are you?
You know, I'm still on the high of being back home in Nebraska, being at a football game and being able to take my daughters, to take them to a game, to take them around Lincoln, to take them down to the greater Fairbury metropolitan area. And my youngest at the football game said, there sure is a lot of red here. And and both of them throughout the weekend just kept saying, man, I wish we could live here. So I was so happy, so proud that they took it all in and appreciated how great it is to be in Nebraska. So while other people have the Rocky Mountain High out here for one reason or another, I love the fact that my daughters love being back home in Nebraska and seeing how great a place it is and why it's such a great place to be from and perhaps maybe a great place to live someday for them.
Absolutely. And you got to see Nebraska and Arkansas State make things interesting. Can find Bill on Twitter at Bill Dolman. What'd you think, Bill? We'll get to Oregon in a minute, but you're a guy who's covered college football for many years. You've seen Nebraska teams for many years, and the mood was uncertainty going in, and it's still uncertainty in some corners defensively.
Well, you got to expect that, though, when you've got a rivalry game like that, that people are going to be, giving it their all to see the Red Wolves and the Huskers renew their rivalry. So you throw the records out the window, 0-0. I think there's certainly some cause for concern. I'm going to be one of those in the camp that says, okay, maybe Nebraska didn't put every card on the table because of the game coming up this week. I think there's plenty to be concerned about for a number of reasons, but they won the game. And as things were unfolding late in the fourth quarter, you know, I'm flashing back to 2 years ago and the season opener against BYU that I really don't want to talk about. But, you know, again, there were some close games last year. Nebraska won them. There was another close game again this year already, and Nebraska won it. That's the main thing, is you're winning football games. Is Nebraska going to dominate like it did 20 years ago? No, we've already established that. But at least they're showing that they can win. Now, should they have been in that position late in the game? No. When people started heading out the exits and it was a two-score game, you know, that it should have stayed that way. But they let them back in. So that killer instinct, you know, clearly isn't there. But they won. You know, the fact that they could not solve but maybe once or twice those swing passes or the short screen passes, you know, I think that's fairly troubling. But the one play that's going to stand out in my mind is the play that we've you know, I've talked about throughout the entire summer. Can you get a first down on third and two, third and three? That's the biggest concern for me for Nebraska football. And when they could not get the ball away from the goal line and results in a safety, that to me was the worst play of the game by far and the most concerning one.
It was, and you have that emphasis, question mark, about the run game. Now, Riley came out. They ran it 38 times. They got Trey Bryant going. They stuck with Bryant, almost a 200-yard game. So, yeah, they ran it, and they wanted to be physical, and they used some of those linemen to get out in space with their athleticism. But when push comes to shove, can you shove the other guy off the ball for 2 yards? New England couldn't do it last night. Nebraska had issues with it in the fourth quarter against Arkansas State. Here's the thing, though. Here's also the talking point this week is, I don't know, we know how good Arkansas State is, and I'm not building them up to be 1990 Washington or Steve Ettman. Okay, I'm not doing that. But they're probably better. And the coaches that have chimed in with us this week have all said, I mean, that's a darn good program, darn good football team. So it shouldn't have been that close. That said, it's not like you were pushed by someone like Southern Utah.
Well, I think Arkansas State's probably akin to, say, like Northern Illinois, mm-hmm. when it had Jordan Lynch a couple of years ago.
Okay, that's fair.
There's always that MAC team. There's always that Conference USA team, that directional hyphenated school that actually has, you know, gained a little momentum and is headed in the right direction. And I think you put them in there, and I'm sure they'll probably be up in a bowl game at the end of the year, and maybe they win their conference. So was that Pacific of 1997 or 98? No. But that was, they're pretty good, and they're well coached. Blake Anderson's a great coach. Certainly it was an emotional couple of weeks in preparing for Nebraska while all that was going on with his family. And apparently that's, you know, headed in the right direction too, so we're happy for that. So no, I think it was a great season opening test for Nebraska, and there were areas in which it passed and there were areas in which it failed. And now the question is, how much better will you be? How much different will you look this weekend in against an Oregon team that I think is really an unknown? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure that, what are they, two touchdowns or something favored over Nebraska?
Yeah,
I mean, I have a hard time
massively
believing that. And I think there's a complete unknown given the conditions in Eugene, Oregon right now. I've got a friend of mine in Oregon right now getting set to call some volleyball and is having to, you know, perhaps have an oxygen or wearing a mask inside the hotel. You know, so I think that's an unknown factor in terms of how both teams are able to play in whatever the conditions might be. So there's a lot of unknown about both teams, about the conditions, and I certainly hope that if the team that shows up on Saturday in Lincoln shows up in Eugene, Nebraska is going to lose. But if they're improved and they held some stuff back, then I think they've got a very good chance of winning there.
Demorne Pearson-Ell is going to try and give it a go. His status unknown. How effective will he be? David Neville, the right tackle, they hope he can go. Nebraska may have to lean on some young pups, some redshirt freshmen, even a true freshman at wideout, and then a redshirt freshman, Farniok, at that right tackle spot. Maybe a true freshman in Brendan Hymus could see action. Who knows, depending on the health here on Saturday morning of Demorne and David Neville. Bill, when you break this down, I look at it, and whoever runs the ball best and whoever stops the run best is going to walk away with this win. I don't know how great Oregon's defense is. I know Levitt's really talented, but it takes a year to get your system in, and Nebraska and Oregon are both in that 3-4 boat this year.
I just think there's too many unknowns, and I don't mean to dodge the question.
No, that's fine.
I think Nebraska's got to run the ball. Trey Bryant's not going to get 200 yards against Oregon. He should have had 202 because they should have gotten out of the end zone. Mm-hmm. But I just think there are way too many uncertainties about how the conditions in which this game is going to be played. It's not going to be played in the rain. It's not necessarily going to be played in any type of weather element. It's how are people going to be physically handling whatever the conditions are when it comes to just flat out breathing. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. That is an issue. Now, maybe it's cleared up today. I don't know. But Oregon has spent the week preparing on the coast. I mean, they haven't even been home. They've got to be, you know, they've got a lot more concerns going on in terms of what life is like in Eugene, Oregon right now than Nebraska does going out there. So I think that there's just too many intangibles and uncertainties to really pinpoint how this game is going to go. One of the things that I've been kind of interested in reading about over the last week has been there's really been no talk about Tanner Lee. I thought he was more than adequate. Was he spectacular? No, but, I mean, dude can throw. Mm-hmm. And there's no question about that. I'm not sure Nebraska's had somebody that looks as good passing the football the way he did. You got to go back to pre-option, and you're talking about Hum and Ferragamo, guys like that. I can't recall anybody that throws a ball like he does. So that certainly is different. But he's got to be able to run, too, and I'm not sure he can. Mm-hmm. But really, none of the talk this week seems to be much about, you know, Tanner Lee, which I think is probably a pretty good thing. That, yeah, he performed well in his first role as a starting quarterback at the University of Nebraska. So that year and a half away from the game seems to have, you know, done wonders for him in terms of his preparation to have the job that he has. He's certainly not the quarterback that was at Tulane, but he showed a lot of maturity. He's got to be better, but I thought he was really good. So that's definitely a positive that comes out of the game from Saturday.
You know, about 2 minutes here, Bill Dolman with us, NBC Sports, the Pride of Fairbury, Hail Varsity Radio, at Bill Dolman on Twitter. I need a prediction, but before you give me that, is this a game in year three with Riley that Nebraska needs to win, should win? Do you put that type, and I know there's so many question marks. That said, is this a game Nebraska should get?
Yeah, because Oregon's in a transition year. They weren't very good last year. I don't see how Willie Taggart's going to make them exponentially better and turn them into, you know, the Chip Kelly Oregon Ducks of a, you know, 5 years ago. I definitely think this is a winnable game for Nebraska. It was a statement win a year ago, and, you know, that statement got a little quieter as the season went on because Oregon wasn't very good. But at the time when Nebraska needed to win and wasn't, I don't believe, favored to win, they got the job done. Nebraska should go there with the confidence because they've got a coach who's now in his third season. Now, going back to the defense real quick, I think this is definitely a game that's on, you know, Coach D, and I think Diaco's got a lot of pressure on him for a couple of reasons. Whatever, you know, Arkansas State did offensively to move the ball and with those swing passes and screen passes and all that, you know, that's got to be solved. But dude is an assistant coach at Nebraska, To duck out, whatever, you know, the excuses were, I'm thinking you should at least have the common sense to think, I'm guessing they're going to want to talk to me after the game. I think there's a responsibility that comes with it. And he should have said, I'm going to do it, and not that, well, they told me to. That seems like it was passing the buck. His defense has to perform a lot better to put that whole incident during and after the game to the side. He's in Nebraska. I mean, they're talking to equipment managers after the game. You know, I think his press conference on Monday or Tuesday of last week was it was way more terse than it needed to be. When you're there, you know that somebody's going to want to talk to you, that you just don't duck out because, well, nobody told me. If there's dishes in the sink, clean them up. Don't wait for somebody to tell you.
Bill, got a question. What's the score?
Yeah. Nebraska 592, Oregon 11.
There he is, the Pride of Fairbury, Bill Dolman with NBC Sports. Billy D, will catch up next week, partner.
All right, thanks.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Skittles for the kingdom. Skittles has found the end zone with 4 minutes to go in the game on a 21-yard run.
Mitch Holtis making you alive and well. The Chiefs Network there is. We'll get into some NFL. Wow. What a ball game. What a win for the Chiefs last night over New England. That made some of you extremely happy as Kansas City fans, and that made some of you even more happy because you're non-Patriot fans. We'll spend some more time on that upset to open up the NFL season as we move forward. We are at the North 27th Applebee's here, Hail Varsity Radio. On the road, Chris Schmidt, great to be with you on a Friday. And it is Friday, which means it is time for you to unbutton that top collar and relax. Happy hour is going on. Half price on all apps here till 6 with your friends at Applebee's. North 27th, where we're at. If you haven't been here before, just a tremendous location. Catty corner from Big Red Self-Storage and across from Goodwill. There is not a bad TV in the house. There is some NBA on right in front of me. With NBA TV, and I think Rip Hamilton, this is pre-Rip Hamilton mask, doing work for the Pistons. They've got some NFL Network going, and no doubt we'll have a chance for you to get your fill of wings and goodies before the Nebraska-Oregon game. Can even pop on by before you get to high school football action. That's always suggested, and can do so as Applebee's has app price apps going. We told you about, but they also have so many different options for you when it comes to food. 2-for-20 menu is incredible. It's one of my favorites. They have curbside for you. Can call ahead, make it convenient on your time, and the Applebee's selection is tremendous. Okay, coming up, Mark Kranak from Hail Varsity. He is out in Oregon. We'll get caught up with him before we say goodbye. Kranak around 5 o'clock. Klausburn in the Friday forecast will be happening around 5:25. We'll talk to some great folks here at Applebee's. And just a reminder to you, Flapjack fundraising opportunity, raise funds for an organization. You can visit, get signed up, and have Applebee's help you out. rmhneighborhood.com to schedule an event if you want to do a fundraiser. Because you care about people, absolutely, Applebee's can help with that. Who can help the Nebraska defense? We kind of went through some key players, some important pieces for Nebraska. And what type of performance will we get from Bob Diaco's 3-4 on Saturday afternoon? That is one of the key questions. We talked about Pearsonell. We've dove into the run game for Nebraska. What do you expect from the D tomorrow? Is it going to be one of those performances where Nebraska's just flat out got to outscore Oregon? Is it one of those performances where you have Nebraska's D night and day different and better against a team like Oregon? And I thought Coach Barnett put it perfectly when we asked him yesterday about, you know, why was Nebraska playing 10 yards off in the secondary, three-man rush? Why were they so conservative or passive? And Coach Barnett's been through it. He's been through transition, and he knows Levitt because he knows Oregon's going through it too. That's kind of a comforting factor, don't you think, that, you know, Oregon ain't vintage Oregon, and Oregon isn't, you know, firing on all cylinders. They might have a false sense of security about themselves, honestly, heading into this one. It's great to be overconfident, but are you a C-plus or are you really an A-plus student, okay? And we don't know about Oregon, as Dolman was kind of talking about. What type of trust level does Diaco have with this defense and his personnel in week two? What's he going to let him do, and what's he going to ask him to do? Those are two different things. He'll ask you to do some things in the best interest of obviously keeping the points down. But what's he going to ask from you from an aggressiveness standpoint? Or does he even touch on it because he just doesn't trust? It's a two-way street. I think the players really buy in and trust him, yes. But he isn't trying to go out there and ruin them either. So that's a key for me. Does this offense that Nebraska has get 35 or better against Oregon? They should. They better, right? Does this defense keep Oregon to 30? Or does Oregon go half a hundy? Do they put their 50 spot up? And if you're Bob Diaco, and I hate to bring someone else's finances into things, but I know that's a wow thing for many of you, and I get it. It's a lot of dough. The guy's making the most ever from a coordinator. You have expectations. What's fair, I don't know, but you have expectations. And your defense better be better in game two, in week two. And this defense better be able to do a few things. For instance, stop the run. Royce Freeman. Kane Benoit. I messed that up. Kane Benoit. That said Benoit. Is anyone else screwed up here? Benoit Benjamin, former Creighton standout. Yeah, he's ruined it. It's really Benoit for the world, except for Benoit Benjamin. I got off on a sidetrack there. Benoit, the eye back, and Tony Brooks James. Man, I mean, they just got a 1-2-3 punch that is not fun. And Oregon is not going to go away from the run. Oregon's going to challenge Nebraska in the run game. Oregon's going to spread Nebraska out to be able to run the football. And if you're Mick, if you're Freedom, if you're Carlos, and for the love of all that is middle linebacker territory, if you're Newbie and Diedrich and Weber, you guys got to have really big games. You got to just be in that phone booth, use your lateral speed, and you got to be there to make your plays and stop the yards after contact. And you got to let, if your defensive line's doing the job and stalemating, then you got to rush up there and make those tackles for a yard, for 2 yards, for 3 yards. That's how it's got to be. That's what's got to happen. And the thing about Oregon, their run game is diverse. They have those three backs. Herbert is a guy that can run. I don't know if they'll put some quarterback run in there just for fun, but it is something that's real. So what do you do if you're Nebraska here? Well, you may have an advantage because you know what Taggart will want to do, and you know what Taggart may adjust to you with. Football's all about adjustments. Football's all about changes. How do you counter what the guy does at halftime to mess you up? Well, Diaco knows Taggart pretty well. We'll wind down hour one. We're at Applebee's, North 27th here with Hail Varsity Radio.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
It's a terrible feeling. And, there's only people that can do something about it in that locker room. We got to dig a lot deeper than we did tonight because we didn't dig very deep tonight.
Keep digging deeper, Tom Brady, as Tom Brady was distraught, frustrated, angry, forgot he's married to who he's married to and has that bank account. He was embarrassed by them Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are growing on me. I don't know that I'll be accepted in the Chiefs kingdom ever because I've been to so many donkey games, but they are fun to watch. Mark Kranach will be a sight to see in Oregon if you're a Nebraska fan. We will get the official head count from Kranach as he invades Duckland. We are at North 27th Applebee's. Come see your friends here at Applebee's as happy hour is commencing till 6, half price apps. Some drink specials, of course, the 2-for-20 menu, and the North 27th location, just catty corner from the Big Red Self-Storage and across from Goodwill. If you're heading out to the Southeast East game locally here in Lincoln, come get some grub before you head that direction. And for sure, happy hour it's a happy time for sure, but you have great specials after 9 o'clock as well, half price app. So think about it after the game. Mark Kranach in 10 minutes from Eugene, Oregon. Klausburn in the forecast on the way. Let's tell you about Sauter Heyman, your friends at Sauter Heyman. Rick and the gang, Nebraska's exclusive dealer of pure grown diamonds. Rick and Sauter Heyman has those pure grown diamonds, 100% real, except they're grown in the lab instead of mined from the earth. All the characteristics of earth mined diamonds, very, very beautiful, eco-friendly, 10 to 40% less than traditional earth mined diamonds. Come see why pure grown diamonds are some of the biggest and best sellers in Sauter Heyman history. They're at 12th and O downtown Lincoln, South Point Pavilion, Lincoln, or out west in Grand Island. You can log on SauterHeyman.com. Specials here for you because you're a football fan. And here's what's going on. It's Thirst and 10 here at Applebee's. Thirst and 10 is such a beautiful name. Thirst and 10 football program. That's Thursdays, that's Sundays, that's Mondays. Half price on all apps. $6 touchdown margarita. $6 MVP Bloody Mary. Ooh, $6 touchdown strawberry margarita. And a $2 safety shot. I might need more information on what this safety shot is. That sounds quite tempting and tasty. Oh, kamikaze. Ooh, I like that. Safety shot. Now, preferably, there'll be no safety in the Nebraska-Oregon game this week. There were two last weekend. As Marissa's behind me pointing and laughing at, what's a safety? I need better upkeep, right? On my my knowledge. Danny Burke is telling me to be quiet. The hour has flown by. Still time for you. Happy hour till 6 here at Applebee's, North 27th, half price on apps. We want to see you out here to get your weekend started off right. The North 27th Applebee's. A quick timeout. Mark Kranak from Duckland next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We are at Applebee's, the North 27th location in Lincoln. At Applebee's all across the Hail Varsity Network. Three Applebee's in Lincoln, a Grand Island, a Kearney, a Hastings, a North Platte, York, and Columbus. We salute you, and it is quitting time. It's 5 o'clock. Know what that means? Get yourself some wings. Get yourself something frosty. It's something bubbly, and you can do it at Applebee's. Great TV setup and a place to hit before or after the game as happy hour goes till 6, and then half-price apps continue after 9. And we are excited to have you out or hopefully on the way to Applebee's here at North 27th. Chris Schmidt, as Danny Burke is producing, we have the Friday forecast coming up in about 15 minutes. And I'm going to dial it here in a moment. I just got a soccer update, and I know that pleases many of you. It's hot, and the refs will be bad. That from a fellow parent as Junior tries to score tonight. Let's try and see if we are connected with one Mr. Mark Kranak, as he is out in Oregon on location, on site for Hail Varsity. Kranak, are you there, sir?
I am here. Are you there?
I am. You sound like you're having a little technical issue. Hopefully we can get that figured out, or we're going to have to kick one of us off, and I'm hardwired in. How is everything out in Oregon, Kranak? You make one of these trips a year, my friend. You do so, and you've been to Blacksburg. You've been to Columbia. You went to Seattle. Hell yeah, you went and watched Nebraska play Florida State way back when Byron Bennett should have made the kick. And now you're on your way to Phil Knightland. How is it?
Hey, you know, it's going to be impressive. I know we've heard a lot about, oh, there's going to be a big red invasion and Husker fans travel well. This one feels a little different, though. It feels like we could be seeing a reincarnation of Notre Dame circa 2000. There is a ridiculous amount of fans here. We were in downtown Portland last night. Portland's about 2 hours from Eugene, so not terribly close. It's the nearest major airport, so you'd expect people to fly in there. But just downtown last night on a Thursday, probably 1 in 10 to 1 in 12 people that you saw in a pretty busy metropolis were wearing some sort of Nebraska gear. I mean, it's and then there, you may have seen the picture going on Twitter today from the Seattle train station. There's hundreds and hundreds of Nebraska fans traveling from Seattle by train. And I know we've heard about 15,000 fans being here. I think it's probably going to be a little bit more.
Mark Kranak is joining us here. We're at Applebee's, the North 27th location. Hail Varsity Radio. Now, Kranak, you said there's going to be an easy estimate's 15,000. You're going to probably say 20 to 25,000. You and I went to Notre Dame, and we did that road trip, 16 years ago. And yeah. It was something special. But to me, the Nebraska fan support's never in doubt. The Nebraska love for Riley's not in doubt. But there still is a game to kick off at 3:30 tomorrow. Started off right. The show touching on the fact that this one means not just a little, a lot extra for Mike Riley, because it's his last chance to, well, for lack of a better term, to go duck hunting. They've been making his life miserable for a long time. Why not go out with a win over them? And also the DeMornay Pearson L factor. He is a momentum-making play guy, and he's got to perform tomorrow. He's got to go, and he's got to perform well. And if he can the young guy step up? What's your reaction to both of those? A, the importance of this game to Riley. B, overcoming a less than 100% DeMornay Pearson-L.
Well, look, and it's an important game, of course, for Riley just because of everything you just mentioned, but I think equally an important game for Bob Diaco. You know, Bob Diaco had a nice honeymoon. It ended last Saturday after 500-some yards to Arkansas State. And so he's got to come out and have a good showing, because I think what every Nebraska fan saw defensively last week is not what we want to see. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see the, you know, just allowing yard after yard after yard and seemingly not trying to impose your will or show any form of aggression. Now, I think we all think that he was holding stuff back. Willie Taggart said he was holding stuff back. So I think we can expect that they'll show a little bit more than they showed last week, which will be critical. And then as far as Mike Riley's concerned, look, Oregon is scary. Like, we know that. We know that they slipped last year. But if you watch some of that Southern Utah game, their speed is exactly like you'd expect from Oregon. It's scary. It's like they come at you quick, and things get real in a hurry. And Nebraska's trotting out a lot of guys who have not played in big situations. They just haven't played. Think about Eric Lee. Think about Lamar Jackson. Think about DiCaprio Boodle. Think about, I mean, just it goes on. And for as much praise as we're talking as we get to, like, Luke Gifford, he hasn't been in a big situation either. So Nebraska's going to have to be ready for that early onslaught from Oregon, because the other thing you noticed when you were watching him last week is, and it's a small thing, sort of, it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to win or whatever, but those guys are into it. Like, Oregon is really jacked up, really juiced. They're hopping up and down, got their arms around each other. The crowd's going nuts. So a ton of energy comes at you right out of the gate, and you just have to be prepared for that. As far as DeMornay Pearson-L is concerned, I don't know, man. Chris, we talked about this on our Saturday morning show. Look, the guy's obviously a game changer. He's great. You know, we haven't really seen a lot from him since his freshman year, though. And so coming into this year, I mean, I did not really consider him to be one of the people we could depend on. Not his fault. I mean, you get injured, you know, what do you do about it? But I wasn't expecting a lot from him this year because he just, you know, it's 2 years in a row. But the guy hasn't been healthy. So I don't think it should be too much of a shock, and I don't think it should be too much of a, I don't know. I feel like Nebraska's been functioning without him for so long that if you were somehow depending on DPE to be the difference maker, I mean, you're in a lot of trouble.
Mark Kranak is with us. He is live in Eugene. He is joining us here. We're live at Applebee's, North 27th here in Lincoln. Happy hour till 6, half price apps after 9. Get on out before you hit that high school football game or after the high school football game. See, I just, you know, it's kind of icing on the cake if you got a breakthrough or a big year, Mark, from DPE.
Yeah.
And I look at, okay, your contingency is a redshirt freshman or a true freshman. And this is also part of the Riley storyline. You're trying to go get skill guys. You're going to California to get skill guys. You're going after and competing against the Oregons of the world for recruits and for difference makers at wideout, at quarterback, at running back, whatever the case. So the question now becomes, is Spielman ready in game two to say hello to the world? Is Lindsey ready in game two against Oregon to pick up that slack and really, quite honestly, get the rest of the world from doubling and tripling Stanley Morgan, right? I mean, that's the concern. Stan wants help. Tanner Lee would like the ability to throw it to Stan, but not have another option. Can these two young guys do their thing and do it well? I'm not that worried about Spielman, but he's still learning. I think Lindsey's big time. That said, I think they're kind of spoon-feeding him information. He doesn't have it all down, and I don't know that he should, as vast as the playbook is.
Yeah, and you know what? I do feel good about those guys, though, overall, just with their demeanor. And you know, Lindsey had maybe 3 touches last game. I don't have the stats right in front of me, but 2 or 3 touches, maybe 4. And he looked fine, right? It didn't look like he was screwing up. He wasn't dropping the ball when he was catching it. He looked like he knew what he was doing. And then Spielman, you look at how Spielman grew up. I mean, he's, you know, the GM of the Vikings' son. His uncle is Chris Spielman. He's been around big-time football his entire life. So I don't think he's freaked out by the moment. I think you saw that with the kick return last week and a catch down the field. So I feel like production-wise, they should be fine. You know, you don't want to lose somebody like DPE. You don't want to lose DeMarnie Pearsonell. It would be great if you had him, but you said it, man. It's like, great. You can't count on it at this point. You just can't. And so you're going to have to turn to Tyjon Lindsey, who, by the way, was recruited very heavily by a lot of schools, including Ohio State, including Oregon, all those. You just name it, and everybody wanted him. And he was going to play as a freshman no matter where he went. And so he happens to be here at Nebraska. I think the guy will be ready to go, and he has to be. And keep in mind, too, you know, Oregon's got a couple of freshmen in the 2-deep in the secondary, a couple of true freshmen. One of them, Thomas Graham, he's one of the starters, and he was the guy that Nebraska was on last year. But he's a true freshman, too. So it's not like Lindsey's going to be matching up against some grizzled vet, right? He's going against a peer. He's going against a guy that's also a true freshman in some cases. Same with J.D. Spielman. So I'm not terribly concerned about Nebraska through the air tomorrow at all.
Mark Kronacki is in Oregon. He'll be at the game. We are not going to prank call him in his hotel due to the time difference tomorrow morning. But we will bother him next week. Mark Kronacki on location in Oregon, getting ready at Mark Skurs on Twitter. Chris Schmidt, we're here at Applebee's, North 27th location is where you can find us till 6. Half price appetizers now till 6. And, of course, after 9, half price apps. We invite you down. And the North 27th location, just catty corner from Big Red Self Storage. Now, Kronacki, let's get down to it. Nebraska wins because, and your take, Oregon wins because.
Good one. Nebraska wins because it controls clock by running the ball. And from watching how Oregon performed defensively against Southern Utah, I think Nebraska can make some plays on the ground. Oregon does not appear, there's a few exceptions, of course, on the team, but to a man, overall, they did not appear very interested in tackling overall. There were some pretty subpar athletes from Southern Utah that were shedding tackles with relative ease. So I think Nebraska's got that going for them. If they can control clock, if they can get something done on the ground, it doesn't have to be 300 yards, but if they can get that 175 to 225 on the ground, I think Nebraska can you know, stem the tide a little bit. Because the thing with Oregon is you just have to keep a lid on them. Like, that offense is coming, right? They're fast. They're going to come at you. You just got to keep a lid on them. And that's sort of what Bob Diaco's defense is all designed to do. So you'd hope they have a chance there. Oregon wins, I think, if they come out early and jump on Nebraska, that will not be a good situation. Defensively for Oregon, the thing that's different from Jim Leavitt's 3-4 to Bob Diaco's 3-4 is that they play a much more aggressive brand. And so if Nebraska is in a hole early, say they're down 17-0, because you're going to have this big surge of energy from Oregon out of the gate. Like, that will happen. But if you're down 17, if you don't answer early, you're down 17-0, now all of a sudden you got Tanner Lee dropping back to throw a lot, that's where Oregon will feast. So I think that's how they win, is if they jump out early on Nebraska.
Mark Kranak is in Oregon. It's Hail Varsity Radio. We're at Applebee's, the North 27th location. Kranak, what is on the agenda tonight? We've got about 2 minutes. Who are you with? Tell me some of the bros you're hanging with, and what are the plans? Have you visited a brewery yet?
We are doing that in about 45
Two minutes.
Which will be good. A place called Ninkasi Brewery, and then heading downtown, too. It's good. It's a lot of my former roommates in college, my brother's in town, dozens of people. That's the thing. You even saw some in Portland last night, people that you haven't even talked to in forever. You're running into them down here. So it's a pretty good sign. But yeah, gonna go check it out. It's a beautiful city. It really is. It's a gorgeous city. Tucked into the mountains a little bit. There's really no sign of the smoke and the fire that we were hearing so much about earlier this week. Haven't seen any of that. Doesn't smell weird or anything. So I think Eugene's ready to go. And you know what's been cool so far too is that the fans have been pretty welcoming. So the way Nebraska treated Oregon fans last year is carrying over, at least so far, for the folks that have been in Eugene. The last couple days, they said that Oregon fans have been just awesome. So it'll be a good time. Tons of microbrews here. Tons of, I don't know, might eat some elk. I mean, whatever, right? Whatever lives up in those mountains. I know you don't think there's bears here. Chris, there are bears here. Maybe I'll have a bear burger. I mean, I don't know. What do you recommend?
Have you seen any hippies out in Oregon yet?
There are a few hippies. In fact, I'd probably say one out of two people are hippies, and the other ones play athletics at Oregon. It's kind of a weird like mix, if you think about it. You got like the hippies on one side and the athletes on the other that play in like Death Star-looking stadiums, but they like coexist. They get along. Maybe it's because weed's legal here. I don't know. That might be it. I think they're
Mark Kranak from Oregon.
Getting along.
Mark Kranak from Oregon on Hail Varsity Radio. Kranak, be good. We need a picture. We want to retweet it. Enjoy your night. We love you much. And we will have you back in studio next Saturday morning. But thanks for going out there and repping, my man. Appreciate you.
All right, Chris. Have a good one, man. Talk later.
Take care. There he is, Mark Kranak, our Saturday morning host. He is out in Oregon. It's the Mark Kranak check-in. As Kranak says, bring on a tough location, a scary venue. I'm going to be there, and I'm going to witness it. And Kranak said it's you got hippies and football players. So there you go. He is not a hippie. He is imaginary and wears red. It is the Friday forecast when we come back. Klausborn will be with us on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HailVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back to it. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It is that time. It's Friday forecast time. And the Friday forecast is presented by the Gamblers Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline today at 1-800-522-4700. We head out west into Duckland. Brandon Vogel of Hail Varsity is on site for the Friday forecast. Vogues, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Good trip and everything. You hanging in?
Yep, we made it. It's gray and a little rainy, so everything is very on brand so far.
There we have it. Klausborn from Parts Unknown joins us. And Klausborn, how are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. I'm currently, you know, we've had bad weather last weekend, bad weather this weekend. So I decided to take a look at the 7-day forecast and see what's in store for the United States. And it just said, see the book of Revelation. So I'm a little bit worried about that, but we've got a week to wait until then. So let's pick some games.
Vogues, you have not seen a white horse prancing around yet, have you?
I have not, but it seems like we're definitely headed that way. Let's at least get this game at first.
No, absolutely. Let's start off and head to Clemson. Auburn at Clemson. Clemson, I thought they were going to have troubles this year at quarterback. They still may, but it didn't look like it last week. Auburn is a program that seems like they have their quarterback in place, and this one is just a tremendous week two matchup, one of many. Clemson is favored by 5 as we talk today. Vogues, I'll start you off, and what do you think of this here? Defending national champs, you have Gus and company at Auburn trying to make a statement that this will be a different year. How you feeling?
Yeah, it's pretty fascinating game. Auburn was sort of my offseason darling. I still think they could be a factor in the West Division race based on the fact they get a host Alabama. But I came away pretty impressed with Clemson last week. Afternoon game in Death Valley. I'll take the Clemson Tigers, 34-24.
10-point win for Clemson, says Vogues. I think Auburn's going to make this thing close. I love Clemson's defense. I love their front seven specifically. I think the Auburn defense makes this thing extremely tight. Clemson, though, finds a way at home, but nothing to be ashamed of for War Eagle. 34-31, Clemson, but Auburn covers. Klausberg.
Well, what you've got here are two ag schools and two hick states that share a name. And it's basically cousins getting together in the field, which, incidentally, is exactly what happens when a member of either fan base swipes right on Tinder. So this is going to be a blood feud, but a good game. I think Clemson wins it late, but they win it by a score of 24-17.
24-17, says Klausberg. Georgia and Notre Dame, and the Irish -4 right now. Georgia going to be without their starting quarterback, Eason. We'll see if that run game gets right. Give me Georgia. With their defense, with their speed, with that offensive line, I don't think Notre Dame's as bad as they were last year. They'll probably be a 7-8 win team this year, but they don't get it done against Georgia. Give me the dogs, give me the points, and give me Georgia outright, 28-24 over the Irish. That's my upset special. Vogues, what do you think?
Seen a lot of Twitter chatter from Georgia fans headed to South Bend. Obviously, Husker fans set the bar there in 2000, so we'll see how much red gets in the stadium. I think there'll be quite a bit. Like you said, I think Georgia has enough here with the running backs to stay in this game, but I'm going to take Notre Dame to win, not to cover, 27-24.
Klausberg, the Irish, or the dogs?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but I agree with you, Christopher. I be honest, I didn't get to watch either team last week, so I'm picking this game based on which fan base can tailgate the hardest. And then I realize one of them is Irish Catholic, and the other comes from the state that gave us Billy Beer. So I'll have to default to Billy Beer and go with UGA 31 and Notre Dame 24.
Close ball game under touchdown, Jesus. And yeah, two of us say Georgia. Vogues will probably be thumbing his nose at us. At the Shoe, it's Ohio State. It's Oklahoma. Little revenge factor here for OU. Lincoln Riley could make a monster statement to his first big road opportunity in non-conference. Really the hopes and dreams of the Big 12, according to many, riding on this non-conference opportunity to see if they can get a win in Big Ten country. The Big Ten riding high, not just from Ohio State, but really from how week one went, even in some of their losses. I don't think Ohio State loses, but I think this thing is going to be tight. I think Baker has himself a day, and that secondary isn't quite reloaded yet for Ohio State in the Silver Bullets. Give me Barrett and company and that run game of Ohio State to be the difference. 38-31, a push right now as Ohio State's -7. Sooners show well, but don't quite get it done. Vogues?
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. This is big boy football when you look at Oklahoma's offensive line versus that Ohio State defensive line. I think the Sooners will come in fired up. make people pretty uncomfortable for a while. In the end, the horseshoe makes the difference. I'll take Ohio State to win 35-30, but Oklahoma to cover.
I think that's something that could be very likely. Glasburn, Ohio State, or Boomer Sooner?
Well, I feel like picking between these two teams is like picking between a hot coffee enema or having a mosquito colony in your underpants. But I do have to say, and I feel just as dirty saying it as I did agreeing with you a minute ago, but I agreed with Urban Meyer's whole rant this week on disparaging your players. I'm not a fan of that. Lincoln Riley's not going to make any excuses. Unfortunately, he's not going to make it to 2-0 either, because Ohio State's going to win this game 41-28. And I really think it's probably going to be a closer game than that. Ohio State pulls away late.
That's a likely scenario. And yeah, it could be back and forth. How much of a jump is Ohio State's secondary going to make? Let's head out west, and you have Stanford and USC. SC minus 6.5. Stanford has gotten back from the land down under. SC struggled and then put some lipstick on to make it look a little better against Western Michigan. I think Darnold bounces back. I think SC's got too much talent. I think Stanford will be physical, as they're known to be, but I just don't think they're quite ready this soon. If they maybe got SC a little bit later in the year, okay, we can talk, but give me SC at home. I think Darnold will be the reason, and I think SC will find a way to get after the Stanford quarterback and really step up and stymie that run game. SC, these things tend to be low scoring, so I'm going to stay with that. SC 24-14 over Stanford. I know they just put up 62 down under, but I think Stanford gets a wake-up call against this SC defense. Vogues?
Yeah, I think the line's right on here. Like, they had to come back from the other side of the world, but like Fed, Stanford had a sort of a week off. USC, there seems to be a little potential here for me for a rerun of last season, where they're a little rough early. By the end of the year, you think they might be one of the best teams in the country. So I look at it as Stanford's benefit. I'm going to take them to win outright 28-27.
All right, you think so. Okay. Klausburn, you like Stanford or do you like SC?
Well, when you're talking about Trojans, you're really talking about defense. And you want to have a good game plan against the Trojans. You don't want to have any holes or rips or tears or leaks in your game plan against the Trojans. You want to have full coverage when it comes to the Trojans. And you're going to need a big game plan. In fact, I'd say a magnum-sized game plan for the Trojans. So I think Stanford's had a little bit of time to prepare for that. And I think they'll win 27-14.
Okay, a little bonus baseball we have time permitting. Boise State, Washington State, minus 10.5 for the Pirate, who's been searching for Bigfoot or asked about Bigfoot and aliens this week. Boise's not been kind to Wazoo. Talking with some folks, this could be Leach's best team at Washington State. You know what? I think that's true. I'm going to go with Washington State at home. They'll take out a little frustration from past losses, and that was a tight one last year as Wazoo got off to a tough start. 38-17, not just a win, but a massive win for the Pirate at Washington State to move to 2-0. Vogues?
Yeah, I agree with you for the most part there. I do like Boise State's chances to hang around in this one for a little bit, but we know Leach isn't afraid to put a late touchdown on a guy, so I'll take Washington State to cover late, 49-35.
Klaus?
Well, I think Washington State's going to win as well. I'm sorry, Washington State. I think they'll probably win this game somewhere in the neighborhood of 42-28. My only concern is if Mike Leach spent the week trying to figure out how to build a weather controlling machine instead of game planning. That could throw the whole thing off, but for now I'm confident.
He might have. Let's turn to Oregon, Nebraska. That line hovering around 14, minus 13.5 is what we'll go with. I'm going to jump into the pool here, and I think Nebraska will scuffle a bit early, put a run together late, but it won't be enough. And give me Oregon in the win, 41-28. Nebraska barely covers But I just think the defense is still in its infancy for Nebraska. They'll be a little bit better, but I think Oregon too tough, too fast against some of those matchups defensively. I think Tanner, though, brings Nebraska back to keep it within striking distance. A late touchdown puts Oregon comfortably ahead. Vogues?
Yeah, here we go. We'll finally get a test of how ready these black shirts are to carry out the sort of Bob Diaco blueprint this early in the process. I think they'll hold up okay on that regard. You got to do two things. You got to limit the big plays, of course. But then I think they can also limit scoring opportunities. Field goals instead of touchdowns are a win here for the Huskers. I think they'll do that just enough. Give me Nebraska outright, 34-30.
I like that. Klausburn, what happens?
Well, I think a lot of people are concerned because they saw Oregon put up 77 last week against, I think it was Lincoln Southeast. And then they saw Nebraska with a nose tackle whose three-point stance would make a Pop Warner coach cringe, and linebackers who seemed to vaporize into thin air whenever anything was thrown out into the flats. And that scares people. But I think we have a secret weapon. A lot of people are talking about the poor air quality in Oregon right now. But Nebraska has experience with that, if you think about it. Every home game is played in front of 90,000 people who've been eating runs all day. So they're used to bad air quality. They're going to win this one. I'm going to say it's even bigger than Vogel says, 34-24.
10-point win for Nebraska, says Klausburn. The Friday forecast presented to you by the Gambler's Assistance Program, the Nebraska Council on Compulsive Gambling, and Choices Treatment Center. If you or someone you love has a problem with gambling, call the statewide helpline, 800-522-4700. Vogues, enjoy Oregon. We'll catch up soon.
Will do. Thank you.
Klausburn, you take care now.
Okay.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you. We are at Applebee's, North 27th, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. It's been a ton of fun getting ready for Oregon, Nebraska, ready for high school football this evening across the state in so many Applebee's locations. We are lucky enough to be at the Applebee's at North 27th, just across from Big Red Storage. If you're out and about, happy hour ends at 6, half-price apps. But those half-price apps kick in at 9, so when Junior's game is done, you got great eats and affordable options. And we have Marissa with us here on Hail Varsity. Marissa's smiling. She's a Chiefs fan. She says, don't quiz me or grill me on third down calls by the Chiefs or Huskers. I won't do it. I know you have an opinion about it. Marissa, how are you? And thanks for having us out.
I'm good. Thank you. I'm glad that you're here. This is an awesome opportunity to have you here at the restaurant, provide us with some exposure and meet the team here and see what's going on at Applebee's.
And absolutely. And right now you're sitting next to Tim Bob, our loyal and dedicated account man. And his wings are right there. We should time Tim Bob, his reaction time, because if I reach over and take one of his wings to see how quick he snaps at me. And Tim Bob's trying the blackened wings?
Yes, he is, the blackened wings. It's one of our best kept secrets at Applebee's, the blackened wings. So,
and they are incredible. The blackened wings are tremendous. The appetizer selection's good. And tell me a little more about Applebee's. Folks have been, but maybe they want to come back again. And you have so many different things. You have great options with appetizers. You have the 2-for-20 menu that's going on. And that is awesome for date night or just you or you and the son or daughter or you and the wife. I mean, it's a great option here. But you're starting this up, and I love the name of this. The Thirst and 10 football program here at Applebee's. Thirst and 10 football program, please enlighten me.
Yeah, so this is our football beverage program that we just launched in the last couple of weeks. Obviously centered around football and the game days, Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. On those 3 days, we have some awesome specials, one of them being half price, all appetizers, all day, Thursday, Sunday, and Monday. We have a $6 touchdown margarita. We have a $6 Bloody Mary, and we have a $6 Touchdown Strawberry Margarita, as well as a $2 Safety Shot, which is a secret. You have to find out when you get here.
So, in the name that is all holy to defensive-minded football fans, the Safety Shot, it is a surprise. It is something you will love. And frankly, something that you can use too at times. So the Safety Shot is there. And it's Thurston 10 football program at Applebee's, North 27th, and Applebee's around Lincoln,
yep.
Which is awesome. And that is Thursday, Sunday, Mondays. You have Thursday night college and NFL. You have Sunday NFL. And the TV setups at Applebee's here are just incredible. And then you have Monday night football. So it's a winner. And you guys also here at Applebee's, extremely involved in the community, involved with high school athletics, also involved with several fundraising opportunities as well for folks.
Yes, we have a flapjack fundraiser, a pancake breakfast that any organizations can host on Saturday mornings. A lot of fun, interactive with the restaurant. A great way to raise some significant funds for your organization. All you have to do is visit www.rmhneighborhood.com to schedule your event.
Please do. Marissa is with us here. Is Applebee's is where we're at. Going to be around two more Applebee's here through the fall. I believe the Illinois game will be at another Applebee's location. And then as we get high school football playoff season underway, the post-Ohio State week, we are on the road. We are at Applebee's to get you ready for Oregon, Nebraska. Now tell me about the curbside options that are at Applebee's. Come on in, get yourself some chips and salsa. But if you're on the go and you got to get Junior to practice, there is convenience you bring out, isn't there?
Yes, we have lots of ways to order our awesome food. You can do it online or you can do it via our mobile app as well. So very convenient. We take pride in being speedy and effective for our curbside to go. So it's a great opportunity if you're not wanting fast food, but still having a great experience at Applebee's and taking it home with you.
Before I let you go, how do you feel about your beloved Huskers against Oregon tomorrow?
I feel good.
Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah.
Nebraska 75, Oregon 10. Good?
I mean, maybe. That
okay.
would be all right.
That's the hope.
That's the hope. That's
gotcha.
Always going to be okay.
Marissa, it's awesome to spend some time with you and the great folks here at Applebee's North 27. Thanks for having us out. We'll see you soon. And thanks for what you're doing in the community. And again, the Thurston 10 football program, Thursday, Sunday, Monday, app price apps. $6 Touchdown Margarita, $6 MVP Bloody Mary, $6 Touchdown Strawberry Margarita. That's what Mama Bear likes. She likes the strawberry ones. And then the Safety Shot is what you got to come in and find out about. Enjoy the game tomorrow, and thanks for jumping
Thank
on with
you,
us.
Thank you, Chris.
Take care. All right, Marissa's with us. Well, that wasn't bad. That wasn't so painless. Tim Bob's like, get away from my wings, both of you. We're going to do that. You know who lost his mind last night in a great way? How about our old boy Mitch Holtis with the Kansas City Chiefs? It was fantastic.
Blitz by New England. They're throwing long. Hill's wide open at the 35, at the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Kansas City. The cheetah is loose in New England for 75 yards, and the Chiefs take the lead.
The cheetah? Oh, man. Listen, you're a football fan. You're excited that the NFL is back. And you're a lot of your Chiefs fans, and I get that. I know there's Denver fans. There's Oakland fans. You always run into Raider fan while they're still Oakland. Listen, what Kansas City did last night and who did it to New England, is that not one of the most surprising, flat-out astonishing things you've seen? You said, okay, Kansas City's got a great defense. They do. They'll get after the quarterback. They'll beat up Brady. It's been pretty close both times. Excuse me. Kansas City has gone into New England. I think it was a 10-point loss last year in the postseason. You know Kansas City's got the talent, but you know New England's just New England, right? Well, for what happened last night for Alex Smith to look like the quarterback he's supposed to have been his entire life is flat out incredible. And he's been with Harbaugh. He has been now with Andy Reid, who are both quarterback kind of gurus. And, I mean, Harbaugh's not that much of one compared to Reed, but Harbaugh's had good quarterbacks. And I think they went 13-3 or something along those lines. Playoff football with Alex Smith. He's been the number one pick overall. He's an Urban Meyer guy. He's just really good, but he's never delivered. Why? Because he's been on some teams that have been to the postseason, but it's about getting over the hump. Now, I'm not going to jump on board and say Kansas City's over the hump. I think he had a lot of fat and happiness going on in New England. All that said, though, the throws that Alex Smith made last night, the matchups that were created with the backs, incredible. And keep that in your back pocket moving forward for Kansas City. Danny says, I need to be quiet. We have one more segment to go. Get on out here. The North 27th Applebee's here. Happy hour till 6. And 2-for-20 menu options you want to check out as well.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Alex Smith wants to throw all kinds of time. He wants Kareem Hunt out of the backfield. 40, 35 to the 30. Hunt breaks a tackle. 15, 10. Stiff arms the man. Gets all the way to the end zone. Touchdown, Kansas City. 78 yards. Kareem Hunt, welcome to the National Football League.
How good is Mr. Mitch? My Lord. It was good stuff. We are here at Applebee's. Few more minutes. The North 27th location here on Hail Varsity Radio. And Applebee's across the great state of Nebraska you can visit. And I tell you what, the 2-for-20 menu is great. Tim Bob has crushed his wings, I think. There's still a few left. Tim Bob, Kitzmiller. Also, you'll hear him tonight with me. As once we're done here, we are headed to Seacrest and getting ready for East and Southeast. Love both programs. Excited about that match. Both teams at 1-1, so that should be a pretty good ball game.
Should be a good ball game, a rematch of playoff game we had last year where East came back and beat Southeast. So I'm sure the Knights haven't forgot that. And we're looking forward to a great game. Both teams a little something to prove. I think Southeast coming off that loss to Southwest going to have them fired up. And so I'm excited about it. And I am fired up about these wings. I have found my new favorite thing are these
Did you leave any for the rest of the customers?
These are good wings.
No, they are. And don't touch anything.
Don't come over here my wings, man.
No, I'm not going to. You're way bigger than me. But don't mess with and don't touch anything.
No. Uh-uh.
I'm going Greenberg here on you. Just don't touch.
Don't touch.
Hey, I don't know where you're at with how you're leaning with Nebraska. You heard our predictions earlier with the Friday forecast. I just for some reason don't think it can happen for Nebraska tomorrow. I hope I'm wrong. And it's close. And listen, you as a Nebraskan, you want Nebraska to have that kind of breakthrough game. I think Tanner Lee is going to perform well. Just a little too early in this transition defensively. It just is an issue. And Oregon, Kranak was right. Can Nebraska absorb the punch, the energy, and handle it, quite frankly, this early in the year? We'll see if they can. And the run game will be huge. And DeMornay is going to be huge. And Neville. And what do you get from Farniok if he has to go? That's one hell of a rodeo you have to jump into at Oregon. Tim Baugh, might as well get your prediction, my man. What do you think tomorrow?
I think I'm with you. I'm thinking the defense is still thinking too much and not just flying to the football. So I'm thinking that Oregon offense is going to put up some points and maybe 10-point loss, I'm thinking.
That'd be a bite my tongue. That'd be okay. I don't know that it's ever okay, but you're building back up. Hey, many thanks to the great folks at Applebee's here at North 27th. Check them out after 9 for half-price apps. Great TV setup. It is truly a place you want to visit here, the North 27th location, also 40th and Old Cheney, and out by Gateway, the three locations in Lincoln. We appreciate them greatly and can log on to your nearest Applebee's. Get that food ordered. And also, don't forget, for your football fix, Thirst and 10 football program, Thursdays, Sunday, Mondays, half price apps all day, and great, great drink specials. We are here at Applebee's and then off for high school football later on, and back at you tomorrow morning with the weekend edition of Hail Varsity Radio 7 to 9. Thanks to Tim Bob. Thanks to the folks at Applebee's. Thanks to you for coming out. We'll talk to you again with Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.